Hello, I'm John, one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. At the start, I'd like to invite you to fill out our online Connect form, to go to duluthvineyard.org/connectform, and please let us know how we can help you, how we can pray for you. I'd also like to invite you to help others by giving at duluthvineyard.org/give. Thank you so much for your generosity. We're near the end of a series of talks where we've been looking at how we can put our faith into action, how we can take the next step towards Jesus. You know, these are crazy times. Some of us are really struggling. Some of us, you know, we're full of fear of getting sick, or we're afraid and angry about racial injustice. You know, maybe the uncertainty, the anxiety of these times have helped us to slip more into drugs or alcohol, porn, whatever our sin of choice is. Many of us, this has taken a toll on our bodies. We've even gained some pandemic weight. Others of us, though, we've had some great times with Jesus, actually, during the pandemic. It's been surprisingly good for our relationship with Jesus. No matter where you're at, there's another step to take towards Jesus. There's ways we can put our faith into action. Today, we're going to look at what Jesus said. He said, the way forward, the way to enter the kingdom of God is to be like a child. Children, they love adventure stories. They love stories of heroes that save the world, you know, quests that are, where you're on a mission to do good. They're in all of their movies and fairy tales and books, the ones they love. Kids can spend hours just dreaming about how they save the world. Before they become cynical like us, children, if you ask them, they'll tell you they're going to grow up and make a difference. They're going to do good in this world. Just ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? You'd be hard pressed to find a child who says, "Oh, when I grow up, I want to push papers around and, you know, stare at a screen for hours and hours and just get a paycheck." No, whatever job they want, kids want to make a difference. They want to change the world. They dream about being part of something bigger than they are, of having a mission. Well, most of us, we're grown up, so it begs the question, what's our mission in life? Here at the Vineyard, we have a mission statement, and we stole it from Jesus. Jesus, before he went back to heaven, he said, you know, my followers, he's talking to his disciples, and he said, you know, you get to be heroes too. You get to join in my adventure. You get to be part of my mission. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Cool. You know, followers of Jesus, that's our mission. That's what we get to do. How does that make us feel? Well, what does that look like in the real world? You know, we're not the first people that Jesus has invited to be part of his mission. You know, when he was here on earth, he invited some guys, 12 guys, to be part of his mission. You know, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And in Mark 3, it says this, he, that's Jesus, appointed 12, first, that they might be with him, and second, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Jesus calls these 12 jokers so he can send them out, but first, so that he can be with them. The 12 disciples, us, our first call is to be with Jesus, to be with God. This is so important. It's kind of like when you're on the airplane and they tell you to put on your own mask before helping others. Yeah, we are called to go and make disciples, but the first disciple you're going to help make is you. Because you can't serve what you're not cooking. If we're disciples, if we're apprentices of Jesus, well, we're supposed to be like him, right? We're supposed to have his courage and his warmth and compassion, his integrity. We're supposed to have his balance of boldness and humility, grace and truth. Just think about it. Jesus, he tells these 12 guys, go and make disciples, change the world. What does he send them out with? Well, did he send them out with, I don't know, discipleship manuals and instructions on evangelism? No. Did he send them out with a killer marketing plan, you know, just the best social media strategy. No. In our world today, the things that are important today, did he teach them how to use Zoom? Did he show them how to have a really great online service? No. None of that. What was Jesus thinking? Well, he was probably thinking the Holy Spirit's going to come and change everything. And that's true, but he sent them out with one thing, one super important thing. John 17. This is Jesus' longest recorded prayer in the Bible. Jesus is summing up his life ministry, the work he's done before he goes to the cross. Jesus says this, "I am coming to you now." He's talking to his Father. He's saying, "God the Father, I'm coming to you. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they," he's talking about the disciples, "may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Okay, that's the lead up. Here comes the punchline. "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Okay, do you see what Jesus sent them out with? Kind of, sort of, maybe? Well, you see them being sent out, right? Verse 18, he's saying, "Father, as you've sent me, I sent them." You can't get any more missional than that. But notice how verse 18, it's kind of a sanctify sandwich. Verse 17 before it has the disciples being sanctified. Verse 19 after, the disciples being sanctified. Now, sanctify is not a word that ordinary people use. It means to be set apart, to be holy. Sanctified. The one thing that Jesus gave to his disciples before he sent them out and said, "Change the world," and they did. The one thing that he is giving us is personal discipleship, holiness, to be like him. It is super important. We need to ask ourselves, you know, in our workplaces, in our schools, in the Twin Ports, in the upper Midwest, in the world, are we making disciples like right and left? Are we making tons of disciples? Or could it be that we have things, programs, strategies, videos, all these things, but what we really need is more holiness? There could be flaws. There could be inconsistencies in our personal discipleship. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for using all the tools that God gives us, right? I want to have a great online service. But people aren't really looking for a good show. No, people all around us today, they need Jesus. They are desperate during this pandemic for him and his love. And they're looking at us if we're followers of Jesus, and they're saying, "Oh, you're a follower of Jesus. Are you any less anxious, any more calm during this pandemic? You know, can you take the pressure? Can you face death? Is there a peace about you? Are you kinder than other people, less snobbish, more open? Do you think differently? You know, you can hold on firmly to truth, but yet still keep an open mind. Are we different? Well, let's take a look at ourselves. Are we different? If we're followers of Jesus, we need to take a hard look at ourselves, because there's really nothing more important for our mission, individually, as a church community, than pressing into this. And I know it's true in my own life. Jesus, I need more of you. In this pandemic, I need a whole new routine, daily, weekly, where I spend time with you, where you change me and sanctify me. And God, I need to be more honest about where I'm not being godly. I'm making mistakes. I'm not living up. We all have our addictions, our sins of choice. God, I need to see better the people that you're bringing into my life during this pandemic. People that you want me to ask, "Can I pray for you right now?" Friends that are fighting that you want me to reconcile, to bring together with your power. I need to just show up and help, serve the poor, go to the food shelf. See, you can't make disciples if you're not a disciple. You have to be experiencing it yourself. And our mission doesn't end there with becoming like Jesus. No, we get sent out. We go. But you know, it's so easy for us to skip over the personal discipleship because we have so many excuses. Let's stop with the excuses already. You know, the big one, the one that I hear the most, the one that I use the most, is I'm so busy. I'm just so busy. How many times do we say that to God? Do we act like that with God? I'm too busy, God, to spend time with you, to notice you, to obey you. I'm too busy. And you know, being too busy is not that great of an excuse, right? We all have 24 hours in the day. We live in a free country. We get to choose our priorities. You know, as a former workaholic, I can tell you this can be hard. But if becoming like Jesus is really a priority, then we'll make time for it. We'll try stuff, right? We'll put time with Jesus on our calendar, right there on the calendar. We'll maybe turn off the radio in our car and spend that time driving, talking to God. We'll take time at the end of the day to listen to God, to reflect on the day and the things that he has taught us. You know, in this pandemic, many of us have had to slow down. It's a great time, a great opportunity to spend more time with God. How can we do that? You know, another really common excuse that we use, Moses, right? The burning bush. He when God invited him to help save the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, he uses this excuse. He said, God, I'm not qualified. I'm afraid. And I'll tell you, getting to know the creator of the universe, becoming more like Jesus, doing and teaching others to do the things that he did, helping to make the world perfect again, that's a big job. None of us like to fail. I mean, Jesus, maybe you should find someone more qualified. Find a highly experienced, qualified person to do it. Nope. Jesus is asking us. Jesus loves to ask screw-ups to be part of his mission. Have you read the Bible, right? It's full of unqualified, broken people that help with God's mission. See, we're not good enough. Get over it. We'll never be good enough. Remember, Jesus. We need to get our eyes off ourselves and onto Jesus. The Jesus that in Matthew 28 said, I will be with you always. Jesus is saying, trust me. You know, if I'm calling you into something, I'll be with you, and I'm all you need. If we're afraid to go to small group, to be part of small group because, oh, well, you know, we might not know anyone, and we might not like anyone, it's okay. You know who's waiting for us at small group? Jesus, to love us and connect with us and teach us. If we're afraid to maybe go to the food shelf and serve the poor or help lead a small group, well, we need to get our eyes off ourselves and onto Jesus and see him smiling and calling us into something wonderful. If we think we're not qualified, oh, I'm not qualified to invite someone to come to the online service. I'm not qualified to tell them my story or, you know, tell them about Jesus. Not qualified. We're exactly the kind of people that Jesus likes to be with and use. Let's relax and have some fun with Jesus. See, let's get past our excuses and on with our mission. Let's go and make disciples. We get to be heroes in this story. We get to join in Jesus' adventure, his mission. How? How are we going to help Jesus make the world perfect again? Right now, maybe the Holy Spirit is highlighting, maybe he's telling you something he would have you do. If he is, write it down. Actually, if you're watching the live stream, just put it right there in the chat box. Or if you're watching on demand, you know, you can go below and put it in the comments. Be brave. Tell us, your community, how you're going to press into this. Maybe you're going to make a personal discipleship plan. You're going to try some new stuff. I'm going to regularly pray or spend time reading my Bible, go into small group, do an online class, start serving. Write down your plan and tape it to your fridge. It's that important. Maybe Jesus, he's inviting you to change the world by helping plant a church or world missions, leading a small group, maybe telling a friend, a coworker about Jesus. Maybe Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to make the world better by blessing those that are cursing you. Oh, in these divided times, Jesus, he's so good. You know, if you don't know what Jesus is inviting you to do, what he's calling you into, maybe just start with a simple commitment. Maybe, you know, I'm just going to commit myself to asking one person a week, can I pray for you right now? Or I'm going to take a time each week to pray for the people that I know that need Jesus and don't have him in their lives. I'm going to invite 5 people to church this year. Or I'm going to commit to start volunteering, serving in Jesus' name. What are you going to do? How are we going to help join into Jesus' mission, help him make the world perfect again? Will we commit to put our faith into action, to take the next step towards Jesus? Oh, this can be so good, so life-affirming to be part of his mission if we'll just press into it. And it starts with just committing ourselves to Jesus. If we want to have real purpose in our life, if we want to be part of changing the world, we need to tell Jesus that we're in. Why don't we do that now? Let's tell him we're in. Jesus, because of what you did on that cross, dying for my sins, I accept you and your gift. And I love that you want me to be part of what you're doing, your adventure, changing the world. Thank you that I get to join in. Amen. Well, you know, this business of joining in Jesus' adventure, it's actually a team sport. We do it together as a community. And one way that we remember that fact is through communion. Communion, for us followers of Jesus, is like the family meal. So I'm going to invite you to take communion now. Grab a little something to eat and drink, and let's have the family meal together. So come, Holy Spirit, as we take communion. So the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So this is Christ's body broken for you. He paid the price so you could be part of the family. Let him pay the price for you. Christ's body broken for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is Christ's blood shed for you." His blood shed to make the world perfect again, so you could join in that adventure. This is a cup of celebration. Christ's blood shed for you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come. We love you so much.